Blue Kool-Aid drinkers, Big Z here. The NFL draft only 2 weeks away. Oh boy, we're going to be talking all about it, upcoming to the draft. So what we're going to do on this episode, and I'll explain at the top of the episode as well, is that we'll be breaking down the defensive prospects in each round for the Lions, and then next week offense, and then we'll do our final mock draft before we give our draft reactions on draft day and thereafter. Thank you, buddy, for listening. Please sit back, grab your Kool-Aid, relax. It's time for the podcast. Kool-Aid drinkers, we are back, and we are only 2 weeks away from the NFL draft as we record this on April 15th. Oh, boy. So, not a lot of time, but we are going to get into a lot of draft talk here over the next few weeks. So, what we're going to do leading up to the draft is that we are going to go over defensive prospects that we can target in each round, potentially. And then next week, we're going to do offense, and then we're going to have a mock draft leading up into the NFL draft, and of course, draft reactions. So, I'm Big Z. Let's go around to the rest of the Blue Kool-Aid crew. We got almost the whole crew here. So, we got Rud Dog.
Yo!
Bob.
Hello there.
UJ.
Hello, everybody.
And we even have our producer, Kid J, popping in here. He might throw some tidbits out throughout the episode if we're screwing up or wants to add something to one of the prospects. Right. Kid J,
give him a little shout out. Kid J, baby.
Good Jay.
He's the one that produces all these episodes, and he does just a fantastic job. So he might be popping in with some little tidbits here and there. So like I said, off the top here, what we're going to do, we're going to look at where the Lions are drafting in each round and then say who the Lions might target at that spot. So, of course, as we very well know, the Lions have the 7th overall pick in this draft. So at 7, who can the Lions be targeting here? I'll let Rud Dog take this one first. I think there's a pretty obvious target that some people are being mocked, but is there?
Well, he was my mock, so obviously Micah Parsons stands out as the obvious defender available at 7. I know there's some questions about his ability to cover and things like that, but just physically, he's a stud. Was a stud for Penn State. Blew up his pro day. Dude's a monster. Could really be a tone setter for our defense. So, I mean, there might be other guys depending on what other, you know, deeper film assessment, but on my rough estimate, I like him as the guy.
Right. And I think a lot of us have Micah Parsons at the top one there, but I want to make this a little more interesting because I think that's pretty obvious. But let's say the Lions trade back to the middle of the first round here. Who are some prospects that we could possibly be targeting? I know for one, at least another linebacker that could be on the Lions' radar in the middle rounds is Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah.
Rolls off the tongue.
Exactly. He is a redshirt junior out of Notre Dame, 221, 6'1", just a super intelligent linebacker and. By all accounts from scouting reports, a very versatile guy. You can play him even at safety. You can play him in nickel package. You can play him linebacker. So kind of what a lot of NFL teams are looking for, just maybe not the athleticism necessarily of Micah Parsons per se.
But a Levante David type.
A Levante David type? Why do you say that?
It sort of compares favorably size-wise. An undersized linebacker who's just he's strong, really athletic, and really instinctive. Flies around the field, makes plays everywhere. I think he'd be a really nice weak side linebacker.
It's rare you see a linebacker that size rated so highly. I think it's interesting. He's actually small for
221. He would not have been a Matt Patricia linebacker, that's for sure.
No.
Yeah, for sure.
Bob, do you have anybody that the Lions could possibly target if they get to the middle of the first round? Because, I mean, the Lions only have 6 draft picks coming in here, so there's a very real possibility we trade back for more draft picks in this draft.
I think it is. Hey, just quickly on the Micah Parsons thing, did you guys see him? Jason Kabinda made a tweet about how to challenge yourself, and, like, you know, the biggest person you have to pose is yourself. You know, it's like an inspirational thing. And then Micah Parsons responded to it. He's like, I'll challenge you on any drill. This season, he's like, anything, I'll take you on. So he's got the confidence.
Well, that's good. That's good.
Interesting.
I would say that Caleb Farley, the Farley the Virginia Tech safety.
Mm-hmm.
He's supposed to be pretty good. He's really fast, you know, and we did need help in that back end. But I think, and also the another guy I would say is Quiddy Pay from Michigan, defensive lineman, because our edge rushing can always use improvement. So
yes,
this is true.
So it's 40 time, Bob?
The 40
he
time?
Blew it up.
4-3 something?
No.
Oh, for Fairley? Oh, no. Oh, for Quiddy Pay. Oh, yeah.
Quiddy Pay?
Oh, yeah.
Your Michigan guy. That's impressive at 260 pounds.
Yeah, what was his 40 time? I didn't see that.
4.54.
All right.
I read somewhere. So that's really impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have 4.57, but either way, yeah, very impressive either way.
But he's another one of those guys that's a potential guy, you know. He's got physical tools, but, you know, can he translate to the NFL? That's for our evaluators to figure out, you know, if he's worth it.
Unrefined. He did put up 36 in the bench press, though, which is really impressive.
Oh, yeah.
Strong dude.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So Caleb Farley, Bob, the big concern with him is his injury history. He tore his ACL a few years ago, and then he's had two back surgeries. So that's why he is probably going to fall out of the first round, just because of his major. He might be the number one cornerback in this class if it wasn't for his injury history, but back surgery is nothing to mess around with.
Okay, I didn't realize he had
NFL prospect.
That many injuries.
Is he a safety or a corner?
Caleb Farley is definitely a cornerback. Definitely a corner.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I've seen him listed actually, as a safety in some of these mocks, though. But I don't know. I don't know how they determine that.
My favorite cornerback in this class is actually Greg Newsom. But that's another guy with and out of Northwestern. 4.38 40. He's only 6 foot, but I mean, he played with the best in the Big Ten. He dominated Ohio State in the Big Ten championship. Ohio State still came away with that one because they didn't have anybody to stop the run game. But in my mock draft, I had Justin Fields, and Justin Fields cannot read Greg Newsom's defense too well in that game. But, man, this guy is super intelligent, really athletic. So that's my favorite cornerback of the Lions. Fell back to the middle and grabbed the cornerback. I don't know if they should.
Yeah,
yeah, that's right.
The biggest need at the moment. But
Patrick Surtain would have to get thrown in there.
I got a guy. I got a guy.
All right.
I got
UJ. All right.
We got UJ.
Yeah, I'll tell you. You know who he is. The Tulsa Terror. The guy we're all craving. Zaven Collins.
I think love the pick.
Right, mid first round to late first round, this guy would be awesome. Let's see, 6'4", 259, about. I watched the film. I don't know what his 40 time is, but his film is ridiculous. He's all over the field. He just wreaks havoc. Great pass rusher. I think this guy could be really something.
Buck is award winner, too, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
So, yeah, that would be my guy. If we're in the middle of the first round, I could see us taking this guy. I think linebacker is the bigger need than secondary right now. I think it's our biggest need, period, on the team.
Mm-hmm. Jamie Collins.
Part of the secondary with how much passing goes on in the NFL these days. And the Lions linebackers in the past years have been probably the worst in the NFL in terms of coverage. So whoever they draft needs to be.
Without a doubt.
At least have some competency in pass coverage.
I know. That's that's why Micah Parsons is interesting. But the guy's also kind of weird. You know, I don't know if he'll be like really good or he'll flame out. But he's definitely got talent.
I think the best comparison for Micah Parsons is like the peak of his abilities as far as a player comp goes is Devin White, a guy that they kind of just tell, go fill a hole as fast as you can. Like he has that speed.
Yeah.
Tell him to fill this one gap and do it as fast as you possibly can. Devin White is constantly living in the backfield, at least disrupting. Maybe he doesn't make the tackle necessarily all the time, but just to use that elite speed.
If Devin White were in this draft, I'd grab him in a second. I wanted him the first time he was available.
Oh, yeah.
I
think we all did, yeah.
If he's as good as Devin White, then I might have to think about
great.
Getting him.
Well, someone said he is, so it must be true.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's true.
I said that was the peak of what he could be.
I got another linebacker prospect that I like in the middle of the first round.
In the middle of the first round? Yeah, go for it.
Jamin Davis out of Kentucky. He's listed at 6'3", some change, but at 234, ran a 4.47. Real athletic, speedy linebacker, supposed to be good in coverage. Could be a nice piece there as well.
Yeah, he's a guy that's been rocketing up draft boards. I think like coming in the draft process, kind of like a third to fourth round prospect. But after some testing and stuff, he's like a 4.4, like you said, 4.4, 7.40. He's just been zooming up, and now a lot of mocks have him in like the late first. So there's something to that for sure. But I know so let's move on now to the second round. But well, actually, there's a couple more players I want to mention for the first round. Sorry, Azeez Ojulari, a guy out of Georgia. A lot of people have him ranked as the number one DN prospect. If the Lions fall to like that number 11, 12 range, definitely a guy I would highly consider for the Lions, especially redshirt sophomore, 6 foot two, 249, ran a 4.6, 140. But what a lot of scouts say about him, and he led the SEC in sacks, tackles for losses, all that good stuff. But if you watch this guy play, if Von Miller in his prime, my favorite thing about him is that he could pretty much run under, like if you had a kitchen table set up, he could run under it at full speed. And that's kind of what this guy can do in terms of when I say he has good bend. This guy can keep his speed while maintaining like really good flexibility around the edge. And that's what I really like about that guy. If the Lions got him, I'd be pretty thrilled about that pick as well. And if they traded back and got him in the middle of the first round.
Yeah, that bendiness, they love that. That's so key.
Oh, absolutely. And he's not even 21 yet. He turns 21 in a couple months, so a really young guy, too, coming into the draft as well. So I don't know. Did you guys have any other possible first-round targets that you think might fit for the Lions? Otherwise, we can move on kind of where they target in the second round.
Yeah, I just one quick. We already mentioned it, but what would you think about getting Surtain and, like, having, like, lockdown corners? You know, like, I don't know. I mean –
there's worse things.
I don't know.
I don't know
if I'd do that in the first round myself, but it's
I really want late trade. This new regime to focus on shoring up the front seven.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree.
And I don't even think Surtain's necessarily a certain thing either. Like any cornerback really in the first, I mean, nothing's certain in the draft, but
that's true.
I think there's some bigger question marks on him. Than like say a Cuda or something coming in out of the draft.
Yeah, I wouldn't take him at all 7. That worked out. I definitely wouldn't. I don't think I'd even take a defensive player at 7. But if you were, I wouldn't take him. I think I'd go with Micah Parsons. But.
Yeah, exactly. So let's move on now to what the Lions could target at number pick. So in the second round, the Lions have the 9th pick in the second round, and that is pick number 41. So some second round prospects. I'm going to throw out one. For you right here, Asante Samuel Jr. I think this guy can be played all over the field. He's 5'10", 180, but obviously the great NFL bloodlines. I love this guy. I think he's going to be a really good player in the NFL. They have him listed as cornerback, but I think he could possibly play at safety too. I think he could play in a lot of different packages for this team and be a big contributor right away. Yeah. But a 4.3, 8.40, extremely athletic guy, I think really versatile. So that's somebody I would like to target in the second round, possibly here at pick 41. Do I think they will? We'll wait for my mock draft to find out. I'm probably not leading that way, but that's somebody that definitely jumps off to me as a good second round target, at least at 41. Did someone else have a second rounder they wanted to point out?
I'll throw one out there.
Go for it, UJ.
And this guy, he actually can be a potential first rounder, but depending on where you see him mock, you've seen him a little all over. But Jason Owe from Penn State.
Yes.
Apparently threw out a really fast 40 time. Intriguing. He's 260 pounds.
4.3, 7.40,
UJ. Ridiculous.
Freaky.
So, I mean, even if he's rough around the edges, with that kind of speed, maybe he can, you know, they can find a use for him. And I think that would be a great pick at that point if we get him in the second round.
So the big knock on Jason Owe, if you don't know, is that he had no sacks last year. So that is always somewhat of a concern when you lack those big plays with that kind of athleticism. It kind of doesn't make sense how the two don't go together necessarily. And the year before that, he only had a couple sacks too. So it's not like it was just a one-off.
Well, you know, Owe rhymes with Ole. Like, Like this is what the bullfighter says every time the bull goes by.
Ole,
ole, ole, ole, ole.
And then so the quarterback goes by and he ducks and goes, ole, ole. I don't know.
Anyway, are you saying that's a good thing?
No, it's not. It's not a good thing. Anyway, I think the guy has potential. So.
No, I mean he has. I mean, so there's another guy I've heard compared to him in terms of a guy that did not have good college production, but ended up being super athletic, and was drafted because of athleticism, not because of his production in college necessarily. Daniel Hunter out of I forgot what college he went to, but obviously the elite edge rusher for the Minnesota Vikings. So it is possible with good coaching in the NFL to turn these guys around, because if it's so hard to, you can't teach that type of athleticism. So
that's right.
Yeah, that is true.
Let's go to Rudd Dog here. Who else?
Yeah, I got one. I think this guy, based on my, I think he's good, but I could see him fall into the second. He probably will go early just because of the weakness at the position, but Christian Barmore, out of Alabama. It's a really weak D tackle class, so I think he might get overdrafted, but by all accounts, he's a kind of a raw prospect still, and might have benefited from another year in college. He gets a first round grade from a lot of people, but I also can see him falling. And if he's there, I think he'd definitely be consideration because he's the best D tackle in this class.
Yeah. Rudd Dog. I was going to mention him too, because I really like him. What I like about him is, I didn't watch all the Alabama games, but when I did see them, the guy's a playmaker. I mean, he makes timely plays and big plays. That's what the defense needs, is guys who can come out and make a big play. I think he's capable
so
of that.
Much. And getting pressure from the inside is something we've sorely lacked for so long. So I would love to see that.
Yeah, eight sacks. Was defensive MVP in the national championship. They didn't have eight sacks in the game. Eight sacks on the year. But the knock on him is that he shows up some games and then some games he completely disappears. So
yeah,
there's a little bit of a motor issue with him when he wants to pick it up, when he doesn't want to. But there's no doubting when he turns it on, he is an elite player for sure. There's another edge rusher I wanted to mention. This guy is fascinating to me. His name is Gregory Rousseau out of Miami. There's actually two Miami edge rushers in this draft, Jalen Phillips and Gregory Rousseau. But Gregory Rousseau, I think, is more possible to grab in the second round here just because of the sheer lack of experience. So the guy did not play D-line in high school, and then he redshirted, and then he played 1 year for Miami where he led the ACC in sacks. He was Defensive Player of the Year in the ACC, and then he opted out. So there's only 1 year of stats on Gregory Rousseau. But, I mean, the guy is 6'6", 266, ran a 4.67. 40-yard time, and I mean, the athletic traits on him is ridiculous, 83 and a fourth wingspan. It's really just a shot in the dark. This is the second round is a perfect time to take a high-ceiling, low-floor type guy.
Right.
There's a reason that a guy like this would fall to the second round, or why he's not a first-round talent, and in this case, it's just because there's, no tape. There's 1 year tape, and it was elite tape, but there's just so little of it.
What I've been hearing, go ahead, Bob.
No, I was just gonna say he's a guy who early when the drafts were coming out, people had him as the top edge rusher, and he seems to have been dropping in these drafts where he might be available to us. Go ahead, Jay.
Because to build on that, because part of why he's dropping is because he's been unimpressive in his movement skills and his pro day and stuff. He looks the part. He looks like Myles Garrett. He looks like Myles Garrett, but doesn't move like Myles Garrett. He was a little slow in his 40 time. Doesn't look like an explosive type pass rusher. But, I mean, they say he's also not overly physical. But some time in the NFL weight training program on that frame could turn him into a beast. They say, think more of a power edge guy in the, with some development. So I definitely like him in the second. If we get him in the second round, I think that'd be great. Upside, like you said. He produced in his 1 year. So.
Oh, yeah. 15 and a half sacks his junior year. So.
Yeah, can't deny that. That's impressive.
Yeah.
And, I mean, the ACC, not the most elite, but, I mean, there's some really good teams in there, and it's a big conference. So I would be thrilled with that that pick in the second. Definitely not the first round, but the second round, I would love it. The ceiling is super high if you can get that guy and his physical tools to match up with some production in the NFL. Anyone else have any other second round targets?
Well, they wanted to discuss? I got one. This is more if we get that the Notre Dame linebacker in the first round. What's his name again?
Jeremiah
Owusu-Koramoah. Yeah.
Then in the second round, we get the defensive tackle from Washington, Levi Onwuzurike. Because then he's a big guy. He's around that area, 6'3". What is he, 290? And he was.
You just don't want to be able to pronounce our draft class.
Yeah.
Names.
So then the jersey, yeah. Like the letters for the jerseys, they're gonna stay in business, you know, because they're gonna have a lot of letters to make. But he was all Pac-12 in 2019, and he had a solid 2020. So he's I think he'll be a solid pro. I don't know if he's like a superstar, but he's a big
right.
body for the line.
What I've read on him is that he is a three technique, like a pure three technique. That's where he'll excel in the NFL. That's where they project him. So we don't know a lot about what the Lions defense will look like this year. So if they pick him, maybe we'll get a little more of an idea of what the Lions defense is going to look like.
Right.
Bob, he's a redshirt senior, so he's 20. He's 23 years old. He's almost going to be 24 when the season starts.
Oh, yeah, that is true. I didn't see that.
I like that. I don't like that.
His 40 time? I don't have that. I have his...
486.
That's impressive at 290, though.
Oh,
that's really good.
Christian Barmore, 497, so he hasn't beat. But Barmore's also 20 pounds heavier.
Right. Just amazing, those guys so big running.
Ridiculous. It's just so ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. I'm just going to throw out some other names.
Wait, did UJ give his? Did he have
one? Sorry,
I did.
UJ?
Oh, you did.
No,
okay.
I did.
Oh.
Yeah, I did.
Oh, away. Away.
Sorry.
I'm just going to throw out some other names. Maybe not necessarily go into detail about them, but just some second round edge rusher prospects. As God only knows the Lions need more of those. Joe Tryon out of Washington, Jalen Phillips, Carlos Basham out of Wake Forest, and Joseph Asai out of Texas. Those are a few names also that you can maybe see picked right there. But some of those might be later second round, not necessarily ninth. Overall in the second round.
I've seen Basham mock to us before, so.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Also 23 years old as well. So another old guy. Old, funny.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, let's move on now to the third round where the Lions have a couple third round picks. So they have the 8th overall pick in the third round, 72 overall. Then the 38th overall compensatory pick that they got from the trade for Jared Goff, 101st overall pick, the 38th in the third round. The Lions have two picks here. Do you think the Lions go defense in the third round? Let's say they go offense first and second. Do they definitely go defense in the third? Do they have to?
I think they will. I
don't see it happening, but...
I don't know. With these guys, it's hard to tell. We don't know what their style is yet, but I think they're really going to go for the best player available type of thing. And if they feel it's an offensive player, they'll pick an offensive player. If it's defensive, I don't think they're going to be strictly drafting for need, personally. At least just from what I can tell from these guys. I mean, obviously, we've got to wait and see, but I think they're going after the best talent.
I don't see us going defender early, honestly, because I think most of the talent in this draft is on the offensive side of the ball, but if we went defense first two rounds, I still don't think if they're going to – I think they'll, like UJ is saying, if the best player available is another defender, they'll grab him up. I mean, Lord knows we need it. So.
Well, I want to get Kid J in here for a second, just about Brad Holmes in the third round, Justin, or Kid J. Brad Holmes in the third round, that's a wide receiver category for him usually. Has he gone – where was John Johnson drafted, do you remember?
John Johnson was drafted in the third, fourth round in that area there. So and then Cooper Kupp is also drafted in the third round. So I think that's where the Lions really found their value. And I think they, from my understanding, they really valued route runners and not people that were necessarily like super fast, but they also valued like people that were that know the whole route tree and that can play make plays in space. So, but I don't know. Brad Holmes might have a whole different philosophy than what Les Snead might have. So
Kid J, what if I told you that I have another Johnson for the Lions to target here in the third round? That would be Jamar Johnson out of Indiana. So he's 5'11", 205. Several interceptions over his time at Indiana. Obviously, Indiana stepped up defensively this year in a big way, and Jamar Johnson's a big reason why. He has a little knack on him for discipline on the field, rather. But he's very rangy, known for his awareness and his ball skills. And he's very versatile in terms of can play out of the nickel or over the top safety. So Jamar Johnson is a name I really like out of Indiana to target here, either early or I would think later in the third round. But someone I would love to see his name pop up personally. Did anybody else have another third rounder? They would.
Yeah, I got it.
Okay, go ahead.
Go ahead, UJ.
Run dog. Go.
Oh, okay. Roof. Well, I mean, I don't know a ton about him, but physically, this dude just jumps off the page. Milton Williams from Louisiana Tech, 6'3", 284, ran a 4.63 40. Now you're talking like D tackle. Okay. This is you're talking like Aaron Donald type numbers here. Physically, ran his cone drill was really good and stuff. All that, like, dude's just a freak athlete. So, in a third round, you get a chance at like an explosive player like that. You definitely got to consider him.
Interesting.
And sounds out of good,
out of Louisiana Tech.
Yeah,
it's always these guys from the schools you don't really know about that you can grab in these late rounds and turn into something. So I like that one. I like that one a lot.
Yeah.
But UJ, you had one too.
Was it
Milton Williams?
No, it wasn't. But I'm also thinking D tackle here. I'm thinking trenches.
I like it.
For some reason, in my philosophy of rebuilding this team, I know we need cornerbacks and secondary, but I'm more concerned about the front seven. So my guy is Davion Nixon, 6'3", 305 from Iowa. I just read some good things about him. I remember seeing him play a little bit. I guess he's very good at getting to the quarterback. Rough around the edges, as they say, but they say this guy's ceiling could be very high. So he's got a lot of upside. So that would be my third rounder if he's there.
Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year, first team all Big Ten, obviously. And 5.5 sacks from the D-tackle position last year. So definitely somebody that he only played 2 years in college before moving on, obviously, now to the NFL. 4.8 6.40, but I've heard his name thrown a lot too, UJ, and I would not be mad about that one either. And the Iowa people I know, obviously, really love him. But that's right. A little bias on their part.
Hawk probably knows the guy, you know.
Oh, yeah, of course. He definitely does, I'm sure.
Hello, Hawkeye, like Alex Karras was back in the day,
Yeah.
Iowa Hawkeye. So,
Bob, let's throw it over to you. Third round.
Yeah, the guy I have, since it's third round, he's not quite as established as some of these other guys we were talking about earlier. But Rodarius Williams, cornerback from Oklahoma State. He's Greedy Williams' brother, so he's got NFL pedigree in that family. I guess, he's pretty good playing the run, and I guess he's a little slow off the line, which is the problem, but his initial reaction. But then he's pretty good in coverage and tracking the ball. So I don't know. That's who I have. Rodarius Williams, Oklahoma State.
Interesting.
Yes, sir.
So if we get to the third round, let's say the Lions have taken a wide receiver in the first round and a running back in the second round. So basically, in the third round, we want them to target one position in the third round. What defensively, at least, if we want to walk away, what position do you think we need most, or do you think the need doesn't matter, and we're just going to go by pure value?
Well, if it was pure need, I'd say linebacker.
Linebacker.
Right. Yeah. Did we mention any third round linebackers? I don't know if we did. But I have one. I had mentioned him, I think, in our mock draft as well. But as a second round prospect, but he could fall to the third round. You never know how these things work. So I'm gonna throw out Baron Browning out of Ohio State.
Yeah.
6'2", 245. Ran a 4.55 40 yard. 40. So he doesn't necessarily play consistently, which is the problem with him and a lot of these other guys, but he has length, he has athleticism. He known to rush the passer with a decent clip, 5 sacks 2 years ago, only 1 sack last year. But he's had a few issues with nagging injuries as well, but he can play on the strong side linebacker side for sure and put his hand in the dirt.
But there's another one along those lines too, Z. Jabril Cox from LSU. Potential. If he's possibly could be there in the third too.
Interesting. What's his size? What do we know?
6'3", 232. He's not the Patricia mold of linebacker, but he's still got the height. And I remember his 40 time. I saw it somewhere, but I lost him now. But I mean, he played for that LSU team that won the national championship, and you know, he's a pretty good player.
I remember him being he was kind of highly touted for a little while.
Definitely.
I mean, we're talking third round here, so I mean, that's, you know, it's getting harder to pick these guys.
Yeah, right. So,
but
we can move on to the fourth round now, and there's just a few names.
Let me just throw one more name in the third round.
Go for it.
Linebacker Monty Rice out of Georgia. He's
Monty Rice,
6 foot 238. The guy's he's more of a 4-3 guy, you know. So depending on what scheme they're gonna go with. But he's supposed to be a good tackler, really strong, and good against the run, too. So it's another guy to think about.
Yeah.
He's got a great name. Monty Rice.
I love it.
Definitely. And so let's move on to fourth round. But this guy could also go in the third round, potentially. And this is just a fun pick for me, or at least a fun target. A guy I've really enjoyed watching when he's been on TV. Just a high, high energy guy. That is Chaz Surratt out of North Carolina. I don't know if you guys go watch his tape. He's just a fun, really fun player to watch. 6'2", 229, 4'5", 940. He's the type of guy that's like a really good leader and like a tough, like you're going to fall in love with this guy if he gets on the field. Just a really tough guy, leads on the field type guy. 91 tackles last year, 115 the year before that. So the guy is constantly around the ball. Not quite as athletic, obviously. That's why he would fall to third or fourth round. But if you're looking for a guy that can be a high motor guy in the field, this is who you'd want. So probably like a weak side linebacker, someone that's going to chase the play down from behind. They won't give up on the play necessarily.
I like that.
So do we have any other fourth round targets here for the Lions? And I should mention the Lions are picking in the fourth round, seventh overall, the 112th overall pick. So they will have that, and then only one more pick after that.
Oh, wow.
So in the fourth round as well, I had Osa Udiga. Oh, man. Give me a moment. I need to pronounce his name correctly in respect to him. Odigizuwa. Osa Odigizuwa, 282, 6'1", defensive lineman, fifth-year senior out of UCLA, but 4 sacks last year, 3.5 the year before, 3 the year before that, so a pretty consistent pass rusher from the interior.
Sounds like a reach in the fourth round, but I don't know. You never know.
You never know, UJ, that's right. You consider him a reach in the fourth round? So, Rud Dog, what's a name that you could throw out there for us in the fourth round?
Aleel McNeil. There we go. Big nose tackle type guy.
Where's he out of? NC State, it looks like. NC
State. NC State. But he's at 317, ran a 4.96. Pretty impressive movement skills. I like that size and power, you know, speed. Yeah,
definitely. UJ, do you got anybody?
Not really. I'll be honest with you, I don't.
Fair enough.
I got someone for the fifth though when we get there.
It's funny though. We haven't even mentioned. We barely mentioned any safeties. This is not a great safety class necessarily. I didn't mention Jamar Johnson out of Indiana as a third round prospect. He could fall to the fourth round as well. Andre Sisco out of Syracuse is another guy, a speedier safety and taller, 6 foot 216. So I just want to mention at least a couple safeties there because I believe Brett Holmes has said, and correct me if I'm wrong, Kid Jay, that safety is the most important position that he looks for on the defensive side of the ball, at least when drafting. Am I incorrect about that?
No, it's definitely one of the most important positions because the safety, at least in the Rams' defenses the past few years, the safety, John Johnson, like, called the defense. He was the captain of the defense. So safety is definitely a position they're going to prioritize in the draft. And honestly, when they take probably the – I would – if I was the Lions, I'd, like, trade down from that third round into, like the fourth round because they – you only have, like, one more pick after the fourth round, so they definitely need some more draft picks, some more players. So I think they trade that, like, comp pick that they got from the Rams probably. That would be my suggestion for them to do, just trade it for, like, future picks.
Yeah, you could trade comps. How do you think we got the comp? We traded for it.
Yeah. Well, there we go.
Did you guys have any other names to throw out there for the fourth round?
I don't really have anything. I just got to throw one little aside here.
Love asides.
The Raiders just they waived Maurice Hurst, interior lineman. Right. You know, and that guy was a hell of an athlete coming out of college. Then he fell because of his heart condition, but he's been playing the last few years. I think if you want to fill up our interior line, he'd be a good guy to pick up, and then that might affect our draft, what we do. But I don't know if you guys saw that or had any thoughts on that.
Yeah, that just happened today, and I haven't gotten the chance to, like, look into how productive Maurice Hurst has been in the NFL. Do you have any insight to that at all, Bob?
I really haven't seen – I don't have a lot of those Raiders stuff, but he was really good at Michigan. But I don't know. He's just an intriguing guy because he's got high upside. But I'd have to read more about it. I just saw that news myself, so –
Gotcha. I'm just looking at him right now. So Maurice Hurst, 3.5 sacks 2 years ago, only half a sack last year. Only played in 11 games and 4 sacks in 2018. So maybe it's a type of scheme that he was in. I mean, the Raiders defense, if you watch it last year, was possibly the worst in the NFL. I think I don't want to say worse than the Lions because the Lions were so bad. But, man, if you watch the Raiders, it was almost I think it was worse. I don't know. Yeah. It was really, really bad to watch. So maybe it just wasn't the right situation. Yeah.
And I guess he played poor against the run, so I don't know if that's if we're trying to stop the run.
That's not encouraging.
But he's an intriguing guy because he's got high upside. So,
all right, fair enough.
Anyway,
fair enough.
Yeah. All right,
let's move on. Let's move on now to the as Kid J, our producer, mentioned, the Lions only have one more pick after this. In the fifth round, they have the ninth overall pick 153. And then after that, nothing. They traded him away so far. So yet another reason to think that the Lions will do some sort of trading to get more capital in this draft, or maybe not. Maybe they're just going to keep building and draft capital in the future. But nonetheless, the Lions have one pick left, and that'd be in the fifth round. Do we have any late fifth round picks? I believe, UJ, you said you had something in the fifth round.
I do. This is where we fill our most important position on the team.
Is it a long snapper?
Close. It's a kicker, Evan McPherson from Florida. Evan McPherson, kicker from Florida, 185 pounds. I don't know how fast he runs at 40.
But can you kick the ball good?
I say we draft a kicker, and I'm not sure about this free agent guy they picked up from Cincinnati.
Randy Bullock.
Bullock. You know, he could be Bullocks. You know what I mean? But he could be good. I don't know. But yeah, I should draft the kicker. Let's get a
Bullock.
Young kid.
Wow. That's a fresh kid for a kicker.
Fresh leg. Let's create a new legend in Detroit. Who's the home of great kickers, right? So
that's the elite.
You don't want Quinn Nordine out of Michigan?
No.
Why?
Nope. That's a high pick for a kicker, UJ. Was he an elite kicker at Florida? Like, did he crush, like?
He was very good kicker. I don't have his stats in front of me, but
he's 5'11", 185.
Oh yeah, see, he's got the height. He's got the height.
I don't have his stats either. I did not see a kicker coming.
Did he go to St. Rita by any chance?
But I know he's the number one rated kicker. Okay.
What happened to Quinn Nordine, Bob? Quinn Nordine was like a highly, highly touted kicker coming out of high school.
Yeah, he's got a big leg, but he's very inconsistent.
He
was very disappointing.
I think wasn't he supposed to go to Penn State or something?
Yeah,
and then he switched because Jim
video.
Harbaugh slept at his house or something.
Yeah, he did. Harbaugh slept at his house. There's a hilarious video like Quinn Nordine put out online. He's like, he's flying, like he had somebody produce this thing. He's like in a little private plane. He flies in And he gets off the plane and he's got a Penn State dad. He says, "I'm Quinn Nordy. I am Ohio State." You know, I mean, Penn State. And and then you went to Michigan. But
hey, there is one more kicker though that intrigues me. Only because of his name. His name is Jet Toner.
Oh, Jet Toner. Absolutely.
Jet Toner. That's just a great name.
Oh,
that's a great name for a kicker. So we draft him and he becomes
out of Stanford. I remember watching him play. He's actually a really reliable kicker, not necessarily the biggest leg, which would hurt him, but yes, phenomenal name.
If they applied that theory of drafting where they just picked the best names in each round, they'd probably do better than Bob Quinn did on his last year.
Hey, that could be a future podcast, just draft by the best names, all right? That could be very interesting.
It's like when you pick a horse in the Kentucky Derby and you know nothing about picking horses.
Exactly.
I got a guy for the fifth.
Which kicker is it, Red Dog?
Oh, this is the fifth rated kicker. No, I'm just kidding. I got a safety. You know, we haven't really looked at much, like you said. Trill Williams from Syracuse. He's 6 foot and a little bit over 208 pounds, but he also switched around between cornerback and safety in college. So he's a cover guy. Had 4 interceptions, led his team. They say he has an elite one step, like explosion to close. He has some weaknesses. Obviously, he's like a 13th ranked safety on the board type thing. But I mean, you're in the fifth round. But you know, they see real pro potential as either a developmental outside cornerback or like a nickel safety. Like could develop into like a free safety. Ran a 4.57, not super fast, but you know, they say like he reads real well. Has a knack for reading routes and stuff. So you don't need to be the fastest guy if you got the instincts. You know, guy like that with upside in the fifth could be a steal.
So I will throw out a fifth rounder now. I mean, at one point he was like a projected first rounder. It's amazing how far this guy has fallen. Kind of like Donovan Peoples-Jones, like someone that was like coming out of high school, super highly touted, then fell by the time it got time in the NFL draft. Anyways, Sean Wade out of Ohio State. If you talk to any Ohio State fan, he's the number one guy they love to, you know, bitch about. and I mean, rightfully so. I mean, constantly torched by any type of number one wide receiver. But there's a reason this guy was highly touted out of high school. He has the athletic traits to compete. His instincts, I think, are bad. But in the fifth round, I think this is where you could take a guy like this, someone that has that's why you look at like where they recruit out of high school. Like these guys have the traits; they just need to hopefully the proper coaching, or maybe just be put in certain sub packages that fit their traits best. And that's something the Lions couldn't quite do for Tees DeBoer.
When you look at the hoped for strength of Brad Holmes is these later rounds, you know, and finding those gems out there. So hopefully, we can get some of those guys. That'll end up starting.
Absolutely. Definitely. Absolutely. Yeah. More in the fifth round, you know, Tyler Shelvin out of LSU, another LSU D lineman, 350 pounds. If you just want a guy that's going to line up over the center and not move backwards, this might be a guy. The guy for you, 5'3", 8'40" at 350. So not the worst. I'm just built like a brick house, so he might be a fun guy to get in the fifth round. Just as a
he
guy,
could
that's
spell Pennacini.
The A gap. What is that, Red Dog?
He could spell Pennacini or compete for him for that spot.
Right. How big is Pennacini? What is?
He's kind of short. I don't think he's 320.
Well, it depends on how aroused. Sorry.
I've been waiting for one of those since we drafted him. Way to go, Bob. I'm proud of you.
Oh my god,
that was perfect.
Oh boy.
I mean, it's going to waste if you're not doing it right.
Yeah,
I mean,
come on. I don't know. Did you guys have any other late round prospects here in the fifth round for the Lions to target, as far as edge rushers? Maybe you guys know about him. Adi Onjundiji, is that how you say it? 6'4", 260 pound edge rusher from Notre Dame. You two are the Notre Dame guys, so I was hoping you might have a little more insight on him.
I don't know much about him.
All right, so he really stood out on the field, clearly.
I don't know.
Jonathan Cooper out of Ohio State, he's more like a possible sixth, seventh rounder, but you know, watching these Big Ten games more so, these names stick out to me. Shaka Toney as well, just a great name. I love the name Shaka Toney, rolls off the tongue really nicely, but another sixth, seventh round guy. 4'5", 240, so pretty good for a guy that's 242, 6'2".
Mm-hmm.
So a guy that can possibly be a late round edge rusher out of Penn State as well. So do we have any other names that we wanted to throw out there?
Yeah, I got one because just I like his name. Divine Diablo.
Ooh.
Oh, my goodness.
What a great name.
Is he good or is he bad?
And what position does he play?
Virginia Tech. He's a defensive back. I believe he's a cornerback. No, he's a safety. So, you know, why not?
Divine Diablo. All right.
Big Z, to answer your question earlier, John Pennacini is 6'2", 317.
317?
Yeah.
All right. This guy's got 30 pounds on him, baby.
I know.
Let's go.
But does he have the leverage?
But about the Divine Diablo really quick, just to give him more than just his name context, is he's projected to be a linebacker safety type hybrid, and some people have a third round grade on him, some people have a fifth, so wide range. He doesn't fit every defense, but so this will be more of a, it sounds like a passing package type of guy, but at least at the very minimum, a good special teams player.
You gotta admit that name though. Divine. And it's Diablo, it's... the devil. So angel, devil, like a heaven.
My goodness.
It's interesting. I wonder if he has problem, you know, his mind. Like if he's always constantly battling.
Conflicted, yeah.
Think about
all
it.
All the time.
He's very conflicted, man.
He's like, should I go for the
field
knee?
Running left and
running right. You said he's a hybrid. He's conflicted.
Yeah.
That's what hybrids are. Hybrids are by nature conflicted. They don't know what they are.
Right.
Oh, boy.
Can he command Hellfire as an asset on the field? Or
can he carry Thor's like, hammer or whatever? Yeah. I don't know.
Can he bite a kneecap off?
Hey,
there you go.
That's all that matters.
As always, this is a great place to stop the podcast, I believe.
hey, UJ, did you see your boy Bo Benchbagel got picked up by Washington? So.
Did he really?
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Watch him become an all-pro guard.
Yeah,
he probably will now. He probably will.
Of course.
And they're going to have, you know, an American bagel. They're going to have the special. They're going to have a bunch bagel. anyway.
All right.
Too bad.
I think he'll be fine with that. All right. So thank you, everybody, for listening. So next week we'll be going over, we'll be doing the same thing, but from the offensive perspective. And follow us on Instagram at Drinking Blue Kool-Aid, Twitter at Drinking Lions. Please subscribe to the podcast on Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcasts. And please leave a review. We greatly appreciate it. So we're only 2 weeks away from the NFL draft.
Ooh, baby.
The Lions got 6 picks as of now. Will be more. We'll see. But, man, it's an exciting time. Exciting time. So we'll be back, as I said, next week. So thanks to Rud Dog, UJ, Bob, Peace. Producer KJ. I'm Big Z. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And last but not least, as always,
go! My computer thinks we're playing music again.
Forward down the field, a charging team that will not yield. And when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave. Rock, 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 go hard, win the game. With honor you will keep your fame. Down the field and gain a Lions victory.
Go!
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.